Yes. Oh, baby. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to episode number 68 of the PSP, the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. I'm here with my partner, Chris Schaefer. We are both AdWords certified Google partners here to give you the AdWords knowledge and spread good AdWords knowledge around the planet. Chris Schaefer, how's it going today, buddy?
Summer is over, and even though it doesn't feel like it, but we're bringing the business. We're starting school today, people.
It is time to get into the real work, the fall.
Anyway, let's
get into it, Chris. So
about
remarketing. Everybody sees the title. They said, you've already done remarketing. Why are you doing remarketing again? Because, Chris, there's a very cool thing called remarketing on search campaigns. And I'm be upfront with everybody. AdWords is huge. I specialize in certain parts of it. I've never done a remarketing on search campaign. I want to get into it. I want to learn from it. So that's why we're doing this episode, so we can all learn together. And we're going to mix in a lot of facts that we've both kind of studied up on and learned in the last week, getting ready for this episode. But beyond that, Chris, you have experience running remarketing on search. I first heard about it through you on a previous podcast. So why don't you kind of introduce people into what it is, and then I'd love to hear the background on what you're doing with it and kind of how it's going for you.
Yeah, so remarketing search is a completely different monster than remarketing display. And just to explain, the obvious difference is that when we say remarketing, which we're going to refer to as remarketing display for this episode, but remarketing display is when you see an ad on a website, on any page anywhere, and you've been to that site before, and you're saying, "Oh, these people are following me around. Wow, that's I just looked at those pair of shoes yesterday, and there they are on the page, right there." That's remarketing display. It shows image ads right on the web page that you're viewing at that time,
right,
on your mobile phone or your desktop. What's really cool is that there's another form using the same technology, let's say, that tracks you, that you've been to a site before, and in this time you don't know that you're being remarketed to. That's the cool part about remarketing search. Remarketing search is a way of showing a text ad to someone that is indistinguishable from every other text ad on Google search.
Right.
So a person searches for a pair of shoes, and they type, the word shoes, size 9, black, men's, running, something like that. They're looking for a very specific pair. The fact that one of those terms might trigger a remarketing search campaign, we'll talk about that a little bit, about how that could happen, what your choices might be, you would show a text ad for that person. And what's really interesting is that person has no idea that they're being shown an ad, not because of their particular keyword, mm-hmm, is, a very specific keyword, but just because they're on a remarketing list for search. And it's really powerful. I'm going to be sharing some numbers I've had with a client I've been running on their remarketing search campaign for, a year and a quarter, 16 months, something like that. Pretty good results, pretty good stuff. And I definitely have some opinions about where I find it to be useful, and other areas I just don't see the value in at all.
15 months, year and a quarter. Private school.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I knew you'd help me out there.
We weren't doing hurricane drills all day. We are listening to our teachers. So, Chris, so it is still regular search ads on Google, and they are still triggered by searches that people do, just like the regular search ads we talk about all the time. The only difference is that in order for someone to see the ad when they search one of your keywords you're targeting, they have to be on your remarketing list, which means they've been to your website in a recent time period, depending on how long you want to track people and keep them on the list. But they've recently been to your website, and they're at that moment searching for one of the keywords you're targeting. So that's what it is. Chris, what prompted this client and you to start this off?
Well, it's I think that gets into one of my first points, is where I find it valuable. For this client, it's particularly valuable because this client sells high-end doors. okay, for homes. Okay.
Okay.
So this is valuable because this product is not a cheap product. We're not talking about fidget spinners. All right. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a high-end door that has security features, and it's, you know, heavy metal iron type of equipment.
Okay.
And this type of thing is a big purchase. So here's the reason I would do something like that is because I find it to be valuable to remarket to the person. Because it's such a big purchase. One purchase is, you know, a big value. Spending $2, $3, maybe $4 for a remarketing search click is worth it. But if I find, you know, other clients that are selling headphones, kids' headphones, you know, and there's a very small margin there, I don't think that it's particularly valuable because, and here's the drawback from display, from remarketing display and remarketing search. The fact is, it's going to be a whole lot more expensive for remarketing search.
Okay.
So you have to make a good decision here about what you're going to decide to use this for. Because if you use this for the purpose of a small service, you know, something that's not really worth a whole lot, you're going to end up spending a lot of money. You can do it really fast.
Right.
And because you're going to put a lot broader terms to try and kind of catch these people in your remarketing list. And you can end up spending a lot of money really quickly and get some, you know, if you get a moderate conversion rate, if any at all, you've spent a lot of money without a whole lot of value,
right.
Essentially paying money for someone to come back to your site, you know, and if you're selling a product that's, you know, cheaper, smaller margins, it's probably not a whole lot of value in that. You might be more apt to go after a display
right.
campaign or display remarketing display, which could be, you know, $1, $2, something like that.
Right. I love what you're saying about a big purchase decision, because anytime I go to Google and search for a company to, I mostly do service searches on Google when I need to hire someone, as opposed to like products. But anyway, when I have a big decision coming up, I'm doing a lot of research, and so I might go to someone's website a week ago, write down all their information, and then do research later while I'm watching a TV show, not paying too much attention, and then, you know, search for those keywords again. And if it's like a decision for a mortgage company to work with or a realtor, some big, big decision, the more I see their ads, if me paying them for 30 years is going to be super valuable for the mortgage company, why wouldn't they want to try to bring me back in any way they can for just a few bucks? So I think there's a few reasons to do this. One is to get in front of a narrower, more valuable audience on search. So like you're saying with kids' headphones, Chris, it's like, that audience is never going to be – there's not going to be a more valuable audience. It's like they're either going to buy kids' headphones for $20 or they're not.
Right.
But the person that could potentially hire you to be their divorce lawyer or hire you to be their mortgage company and be a huge decision for them, it is worth it to get people in front of people who have been to your website recently, so they're interested in you and they're searching for the keywords. That's very valuable. And then another reason, Chris, is this was brought to my attention today. Some industries, like AdWords agency, the keywords are like $70 per click. And some guys, the smaller guys like you and me, we can't really compete with the massive, some of them are part of public companies, agencies who are willing to pay $100 per click or whatever. So what we can do is do remarketing on search, target broader, more generic keywords that cost less, but we can still get value from it because we're only showing it to people who have been to our website and shown interest in us. So it kind of gives the little guy a chance to compete on super expensive industries. So you want to get in front of a very valuable specific audience again, or you can do it to kind of get a lower cost per click, get more volume, show up on broader, more generic, cheaper keywords if you can't compete on those high cost choice A keywords. So, Chris, that's why to do it. Let's kind of really get technical here because it is kind of confusing on how to set it up. So why don't you kind of take us through the funnel of all the way back to creating a remarketing tag to adding it to the campaign.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So basically here's how it works. As Jason said, we're going to start with creating a remarketing tag. That's going to whether it's done in AdWords or Google Analytics, you're going to create the tag. You're going to define, you know, what the name of that is and what audience you are tracking there. And then how long they're going to be members. And I don't know if, Jason, you and I have talked about this much. I usually go with, you know, the longest membership duration that I can do, you know, 120 days or something like that. I usually, you know, I'm fine having people on my remarketing list for a long time.
I'm the same way.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so now what you do at this point is you set up, I like to set up a new campaign. I set up a new campaign because my targeting, my geographic targeting,
your keywords.
My keywords I can do at ad group level, but my campaign settings might be different than my other search campaign. My geographic targeting, my devices might be different. My ad schedule might be different I want to make some decisions about what's valuable. I might, in my search campaign, my main text search campaign, I might only go from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. because, you know, it's a B2B type of thing and I only want to do business hours.
Right.
But for my search remarketing, I might open it up 24/7. And
do the everything. Traffic is super valuable to begin
with. Yeah, because I know these people have been to my site. I know that they're at least searching for something that's kind of close. Okay. So I set up a new campaign because I like to be even a little more broad. You know, Jason and I don't talk a lot about being broad in our campaigns. This is one of the few times that it's okay, and you'll hear in a second just how broad we're talking about. But basically, I set up a new campaign, and at this point, I set up, for me, it just depends on how you want to do it, but I set up different ad groups based on the different services and different ads that and landing pages that I want to point people to.
So you don't do skags?
No.
And a baby grand piano doesn't fall on you when you walk outside your front door? You don't do skags?
No, I do not. I do not. I am an AdWords partner that does not do skags.
Okay.
I know, it's embarrassing. But basically what I do is I have an ad group, and I will actually take, let's say we're doing, say you're a shoe salesman, you have an online shoe store. What I would do then is actually do modified broad shoes. So basically plus shoes.
Any search that ever is searched that includes shoes.
I don't care what it is. Anything that's shoes, and maybe another term, another ad group might actually be focused on clothing. Maybe I just have clothing or style. I mean, there's a lot of ways that you can, if you open up the door of possibilities, there are a lot of different things you can go after. And the thing is, you don't want to bid real hard on these things. You're not looking for first position. And I'll explain a little bit about what strategy on ads might be for this. But start for now with maybe a little bit more conservative bids. Be very broad in what you're doing. And what you're doing is you're reaching people that might be looking at the moment for some type of style, fashion, clothing, shoes, footwear, something like that. And you're bidding pretty moderately. You're showing up on the page. And I'll just throw it in now. What I like to do is I like to break another rule that I always have. I actually put the client's name or my business name or product name in the ad copy.
Yeah, remarketing 101 right there. Same as this.
Yeah, which is ridiculous to do in search marketing, right? Why put your company name in your search text ad? Complete waste of space. Right. But for something like this, I put it in my headline. Maybe headline one, headline two, something like that. And the point is you're attracting the person's eye to something they're already familiar with. They're already familiar with your company name, your product, whatever. And maybe that will hook them, and maybe they'll end up clicking and coming back to the site for a moderate. You've accomplished several things. They're interested in that topic, shoes, clothing, style, something like that. And you've brought them back to the site at that moment of interest. Number three, for a moderate click, you didn't have to pay that $7, shoe search all over again with a brand new list of people. This is a returning customer, so all that stuff is accomplished, and that's basically my kind of idea that I like to do.
Now, let me. That's a great example, Chris, for a product. Let me kind of give an example that came to my mind when I was going through this stuff this week for moving companies. If you target the keyword phrase match moving, that's it, just phrase match moving for moving company, you'll get killed. because people search all different kinds of things. Like someone might be moving to Austin for a new job, and they might search moving to Austin, and they're in St. Louis. And it's like, you don't know if they need a moving company. Maybe they're just looking cool places to live, cool things to do. You can just get destroyed by it. But if someone's on my remarketing list, that means they need a mover because they've been to my moving company website within the last X amount of days. And so if they're doing any kind of search related to moving, how much does moving usually cost? How to move all your furniture safely? All that kind of stuff that isn't a spot-on keyword like moving company St. Louis, movers near me. Anything related to moving, phrase match, I want to have a shot at them on the remarketing list because they're on my remarketing list. So the person that's searching for like moving to Shanghai, they're not going to see my ad because they haven't been to my website in the last 30 days. But the person searching, how much do moving companies usually charge? A little too high up in the funnel usually. I do want to show up on them because they're on my remarketing list, and that's how I know they are in need of my service. So you can show up on some pretty cheaper clicks than something spot on like movers in St. Louis. So I'm super excited about this, Chris, to try this out. Now, that said, hold your horses, people. Pull your pants back up, as we say on this show. The search list size, Chris, it's got to be at least 1,000 people before Google will start showing your search remarketing ads.
That's a significant number. Honestly, you know, I've had some clients that struggle, you know, small budget, small, you know, very, very specific type of product or service they offer. Even for the search, for the remarketing display, 100 people sometimes it might take a couple months for them.
And that's
because they
the
just don't get a whole lot of traffic.
Yeah. For display, the threshold is 100.
Yeah. 100 for display, but for search, 1,000.
1,000.
That's a lot.
And let's kind of break it down even more. It's not just, 1,000 people went to my website last month. I'm going to make it, my list is going to be 1,000, Chris. As we've, you know, discovered on display, Google basically, as I understand it, they put a cookie on your browser, right? So you go to someone's website, you get a cookie on your browser, then you're eligible to be on their remarketing list.
Really straightforward. You can get a lot of people.
Yeah.
Every device.
Yeah. A lot of the traffic that comes to your site, a lot of that gets its way onto your display remarketing list just from the cookie. But on the search remarketing, Chris, basically Google has to know who that user is, but of course we always say anonymously for privacy concerns. But they have to know who that user is in an anonymous way, but in order for them to be able to do their thing and add that person to your remarketing list, they basically have to be logged into a Google account. Whether it's analytics or Gmail, that's how we understand it. And this is it gets more technical than that. But the point is, it's a little bit harder to get someone on your search remarketing list.
So, I think what happens is they take a combination of the tag that they get on their browser, tie that to a user login, and then you're able to do the Google remarketing search.
Right.
I think that's the way that it works. It initially works with the cookie, but it has to tie back to an actual Google account login.
So, Chris, it all comes down to like how much traffic your website gets. So, like if you're a small local plumber, mover, lawyer, and your site gets 30 hits a day, and maybe a quarter of them are from outside the country, who knows why they're getting to your website, or whatever, a tenth of them. That's going to take you some time to get up to 1,000 within the last 30 days. But to give yourself a better chance, bump that duration back to 120 days. But Chris, some people listening get maybe 100,000 hits a day. So they'll get on the list within one day. But no, you got to be at least 1,000. Chris, covering the keywords here, we just talked about it. You want to try out the broader, more generic keywords because you know the people are on your remarketing list.
Don't repeat the keywords that you have in your main new prospect search campaign, right? If you have men's size 11 running shoes in your search campaign that you're advertising, don't duplicate those keywords in your remarketing search.
Why not?
Because you're essentially competing with yourself, unless your targeting's different from one or the other geographically or your time of day, something like that.
Right.
But two, you're missing the point of the value of the remarketing. You can bid lower, be more general, and nab those people
and try stuff out
as they search. Yeah. Because you will definitely – one thing I've found with my clients is you'll definitely see searches that you never thought of before. Because you are doing broad campaigns, broad keywords, you'll see searches like, oh, that's interesting. I had no idea that existed. I never thought about that before.
Exactly.
You know? So that's kind of the value here.
Exactly. Now, the final thing in terms of technical stuff, you have your campaign, and Chris, you're saying you can do this at the ad group level. At the ad group level or campaign level, you'll see that audiences tab. And you go into your audiences tab, you hit your little remarketing button that's right under the list of tabs, and then you apply whatever remarketing audience you want to this ad group or campaign. Now, Chris, a couple things to note. I called into Google this week and asked them, what if I apply two different audiences to my campaign or ad group? And they said, you will be eligible to show for either of those audiences. It does not lock it down to people on both audiences. So if you want to try out more than one audience, you can do different audiences on different ad groups or different campaigns. But you can also apply it at the campaign level. You can apply two or three different audiences to one campaign, and you can gather data on each audience, and you won't be stopped from targeting each audience independently. The final technical thing here, Chris, is there's a very – this was so confusing to me when I started at AdWords – target and bid versus bid only. And the way to break it down, people, is target and bid on the remarketing audience list that you apply means that someone has to search one of your keywords and be on your remarketing list to be eligible to show up. Bid only means that they can search one of your keywords and show up and not be on your remarketing list, or search one of your keywords and be on your remarketing list and see your ad too. So target and bid locks it down to both the keyword search and being on your remarketing list. Bid only says, okay, keyword targeting like normal, regardless of whether or not they're on your remarketing list. But when they are, we'll show you the data breakdown.
I mean, Jason, for me, there's only one winner, and that's target and bid. I mean, I don't think I ever use bid only for anything, because if I choose a specific target system, whether it's display or search remarketing, I always choose target and bid because I always want it to use the targeting method that I've chosen and not pick and choose different ones and only show it here. So to be clear, I think the best method here is target and bid, because you want both the user to be in your remarketing list, which is the point of the remarketing, and to be searching for those keywords.
I agree. I mean, someone could make the case for bid only simple, and it allows you to see the difference with the data. But if you're listening to the Paid Search Podcast, if you're going to the extent to do a search remarketing, why not like lock down your traffic and really go for it? So Chris, what I'd like to do here is I've come up with some strategies that I think remarketing for search would be valuable for and apply, and I'd love to get your feedback on whether these strategies are something you do and what kind of performance results you've seen in the real world here. So we're going to take the theoretical and combine it with the real world results. So the first reason to do search remarketing, Chris, in my opinion, is to target broad and more generic and more high volume keywords, the stuff we usually wouldn't allow ourselves to target, because you already know the person's been to your website and it's a more valuable search user. So is that accurate? Do you target more broad and generic keywords? And take us back to your custom door company.
Yeah, absolutely. The types of things that I target, I've already given one example about the shoes, but believe it or not, I mean, for the door, I'm looking at my door campaign right now. I mean, I have the word modified broad match, so it's plus and doors. I mean,
plus doors. So if your client was unhappy with you for whatever reason and was looking around and had someone come in and audit their account, I can guarantee you what a dirty person would do, Chris. They would tell your client, hey, this guy is targeting broad match doors and he calls himself a Google partner. That is horrible. You need to come with me. So just a little tip to all the agency freelancer people out there. educate your client on what you're doing so you don't let so maybe the client doesn't give someone access, but they just go into their account one day and say, why is the great Chris Schaefer targeting Broadmatch doors?
Yeah, it does. But here's the thing. Here's what's incredible about that. I'm getting for these the broad awful terms that you know are just seems like horrible ideas. I'm getting like a 4, 5, 6% click through rate.
That's hot right
on there. These terms. I mean,
4, 5, 6% on because if anyone knows, Chris, if you do Broadmatch modified one word,
gosh,
you're just going to get a very low click through rate, like maybe under 1% usually, way under it, because there's so much stuff coming your way that you can show up on that's just not interested in your ad. But since these people have been to your client's website in the last 30 or 120 days, you're getting a 4 to 7% click through rate. Did I hear you right? Yeah. You're getting a 12 to 20%. You're getting
wait a second. Okay, wait a second.
Got a little excited.
So
there.
I mean that's surprising. And just to give let me pull it up real quick. But just to give an idea of what kind of click through rates I'm getting for new searches, non returning customers
with better keywords. Just,
yeah, much more targeted keywords. I mean, I'm looking at one. I mean, I get a 7.11 click-through rate.
Okay.
So we're looking at, you know, a better click-through rate. Mm. But considering this is a one-word modified broad term, and I'm getting, you know, 4, 5, 6%, I mean, that's great. And I look at the search terms. You know, we always talk about search terms. Chris, what do the search terms look like? Search terms are, you know, very specific. Even though I, you know, have terms here for doors, I get things. My most common searches are security doors, iron doors, Titan security doors. I think that's a type of brand. So, and these are getting conversions.
Wow.
Just to give, you know, give some more, I know I would probably beating you to the punch here. I know you have more strategies, but you know, while I have it here, I'm getting like a 3 to 4% conversion rate
on just horrible broad open
on broad horrible.
Now, Chris,
terms.
This makes me
pretty amazing.
This makes me itchy here. We're talking broad and generic keywords, but what I think to myself is, okay, those are working so great with the remarketing list. Will the spot on regular keywords we always target do even better with the remarketing? Do you ever get itchy to, I mean, do you think that's a valid use of remarketing on search to go after your regular keywords as well?
So adding my regular keywords.
Security door companies, Houston, Texas, that kind of thing.
Okay.
With the remarketing. Okay. Or do you think it's just too small? I mean, I think it's getting a little too theoretical because you're already targeting really good keywords. So who cares if they're on the list or not?
I don't care if the person's, you know, if they're searching so specific.
Okay.
Here's the, I mean, this is basically a discussion in bid management. But basically, I have keywords that are phrase match, exact match terms that are very specific to a certain type of security door, iron door, stuff like that. And essentially, if they search for that, I have bids at higher, much higher levels than I do my general search remarketing. So I don't really need to mix these because if they search something off topic and they've been to my site, I'll catch them with the search remarketing. If they search something on topic, whether they've been to my site or not, I'll hit
them. You're
going to
catch them anyway.
I'm going to catch them one way or the other.
Gotcha. So kind of use your remarketing for search, especially when you're starting on these generic and broad keywords. That's what I thought would be a good strategy, and that's what you do. So that's reassuring to hear that that works. Now, Chris, the next strategy that you can kind of benefit from with search remarketing is that since you're doing broad and broad modified and really opening yourself up with these one-word keywords, you're going to show up on a lot of different stuff. And you're going to get good data in the search terms report and find – you're going to have a chance to find new keywords to target in your regular campaign. That's what I think it could be great for. Another thing it could be great for. Do you find yourself doing that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a lot of really interesting terms that come through. And it's a great way – I mean, it'd be terrifying to put that that term on a open playing field for anybody to click on. But these are pre-qualified – consumers that have already been to my site. So I'm willing to see how it works, and it works pretty well. Absolutely.
Right. And, there's another strategy people say out there, Chris, to exclude already converted from your audience. But I'm thinking about it for the security door company. Say someone calls in 30 days ago and you gave them a quote or whatever, and they said, okay, I'll call you back next week, and they never call back because they got busy with life, you know? And then, you know, time goes on and they're doing these kind of searches again with the intent to call in again. You don't want to miss that person. So it is valid to bring it up. Maybe don't target already converted people in your audience, but think very, very carefully before you make that decision. And my last little strategy here, Chris, is to develop multiple audiences with your remarketing tag. People who viewed security doors page, people who viewed business security doors page, that kind of thing, and come up with different remarketing lists, different audiences using that same remarketing tag. Dig a little deeper than just your general all users audience. Do you think that's a valid use of your time?
Yeah, I think so. It takes an additional step for you to figure out, you know, the different ways that people might come to the site. And keep in mind, you're always going to be limited by the makeup of your site. For this particular client, they don't really have a difference between business, you know, the different types of doors. It all kind of goes to the same doors page. But if you do have an ability to say, you know, this type of page is for this type of customer and this type of page, then absolutely create different remarketing audiences based on what pages they viewed. And you can essentially do the same thing, except subcategorize these campaigns based on each of those categories.
Right, and really tailor your ad copy to that, to the individual list. I love it, Chris. So that is search remarketing. Very underutilized, probably. I have not used it to date, and I think there's a lot of potential here, and I'm glad we got to talk about it, Chris. Now, Chris, little story time for you, and a little extra tip for the bros and the gals out there, why people listen to the Paid Search Podcast. We're not just some stupid blog article telling you don't target already converted audiences. We're really digging deep here. And this story, Chris, I got excited about search remarketing. I went to one of my campaigns today. I turned it on. I put in a search remarketing campaign. And then I go to my audiences page in the shared library to check out my remarketing list. And I have my search remarketing list. I have my display remarketing audience list. I have my YouTube remarketing audience list. And then I have my search remarketing audience list, which I've never looked at because I've never done a search remarketing campaign to date. So my YouTube and display were both in the multiple thousands for this account, list size. My search list had a little dash, and that's it, just a dash. So I'm like, what the heck is going on? If I have enough traffic to create a multiple thousand list for display and YouTube, how come I don't have anything on search? And I know, as we talked about, search is a little harder to get someone on the list because the login and all that kind of stuff, but it shouldn't be zero. It shouldn't be so small that they don't even have a number there, less than 100, when the other ones were way in the high thousands. So I called Google, worked with two different reps. I had to call back twice. Neither of these reps had an answer. They just told me, you know what, it's harder to add people to your search list, and it'll come with time. And I was like, yeah, but that doesn't make sense because my YouTube and display are in the thousands. I know how many people are coming to this website every month, and I should definitely have 1,000 people on the search list. So it's like something's blocking it from showing up. Neither of them knew, but I dug a little deeper with one of them on the phone and kind of educated them on what it was, and we all learned together. But Chris, you can create... You don't go into analytics a lot because you're a pro and you knew about that little conversion thing, as we talked about a couple weeks ago. But in analytics, you can create your audience list. And then, so as long as your analytics tag is on the website, which for a lot of clients it is already, so a lot of times it's easier to just create your analytics list or your remarketing list in analytics than create a remarketing tag and add another piece of code to the website. So as long as analytics is on the site, you can do remarketing lists from analytics and create your list in there. So I had done that for this client, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners, that's how they came up with their remarketing list. Well, when you do that, if you go into the audiences part of analytics and you go down to the part where it says this audience is linked to this AdWords account, it'll say display and it'll have your display number, and then it'll say search and it'll say this website is not eligible for search remarketing because of, you don't have this setting turned on. And for this client, that was the default. That's just how analytics came. So what we had to do is we had to go into tracking info in the analytics settings. And then under tracking info, there's a data collection menu. And on the data collection page, there's a little big box that says remarketing on off. And we had to flip it on, and that allowed us to start generating a search remarketing list. So the point of that story, Chris, is that potentially for anybody who created their remarketing audiences in analytics and linked analytics to AdWords, potentially you might not be creating, you might not be generating a search list, because your default might be set to that tracking info, data collection, remarketing off. And if you flip it on, then you can start generating a search list audience, Chris. There is nothing about that online. The two people I talked to at Google, who usually they give great help, I still love calling in, but they didn't know it. And I think honestly the only people who are going to know that out there are people who, like myself, who went through it and had to figure it out, or people who listen to the paid search podcast. So honestly, that is a deep tip.
Yeah, that's great. That's really interesting. It reminds me of issues whenever you're not seeing your Google Analytics track back into AdWords. There's a little flip switch button that you would never know you have to hit, and it sounds a lot like that type of issue,
right,
which I've come across as well. One of those weird things that will drive you crazy. But good stuff. That's cool. That's really, I had no idea about that.
Yeah,
that's
interesting. Chris, I appreciate you being here today. You got a hot brand. You don't have to do this, but you do it with me, and I love it. Everyone listening, thank you. By the way, everything's been working with my internal plumbing, as we talked about a few weeks ago. I've stopped checking those darn reviews every single time I'm there. Relaxed a little bit. I've been getting listeners email me, Chris, that said they are leaving us iTunes reviews, and I appreciate that. And I think it's just the thing with iTunes where they only update it once a month or whatever. So we will get above 20. We will start ranking higher for AdWords. And, you know, you can follow me on Twitter at RothmanPPC.
Yeah. Unfollow me if you're listening. So.
Yep. So, Chris, thanks for being here. We will be back next week with episode number 69. And
this is 69.
This is 68, bro.
Whatever.